This is one of the tracks from... This is about the first love, the one that you never forget. 10 years gone.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Thanks for tuning in today. Monday, May... What is it? No, May. What month, man? April 28th. April 28th. Fuck yeah. Light the candles of rock! How's everybody doing? This episode's brought to you by Earthquaker Devices. You play guitar, bass, keyboards. You want to sing through some special effects?
Yeah!
Check it out, Earthquaker Devices. Boutique guitar pedals, my favorite people also. Not only do they have a great product, just absolutely kick-ass people that own the place. They've got all the cool stuff. Delays, reverbs, fuzz, modulation, overdrives. Handmade in Devo, Ohio. That's right, Devo, Ohio. That's Akron, Ohio, but I changed it to Devo, Ohio. So that's what you got to call it from now on. Devo, Ohio. Whip it good. And you know Devo uses guitar pedals. I mean, shit. That version of Satisfaction, it's got mad distortion on there. So you know Devo uses some... Earthquaker devices. They got cool shirts too. I got some shirts from them recently, rocking them. Thank you, Earthquaker Devices. Get your pedals, guys. Tell them Delray sent you. They'll hook you up with a cool discount. It's earthquakerdevices.com. And do it. I know a lot of people out there play instruments that listen to the show. So check them out. Very cool. I love those guys. Happy Monday, guys. Just getting my week started. It's going to be a great, great week. What do I got coming up? Some incredible shows with Jay Moore. That's going to be fun. This week at American Comedy Co. San Diego. Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Come see me and Jay Moore. The Rockers. The Rockers invade the Comedy Co. American Comedy Co. Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. And then also I'll be with them in Bakersfield. Please get your tickets in advance for the Bakersfield show at the Fox Theater. Thank you, Jay Moore. Huh? Jay Moore Sports. Love the guy. Had a good week. This episode's pretty damn cool. It's a live episode that Jim Florentine and I recorded last Thursday night, I think the 24th, at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. And we had some fun guests come down. We had Charisse Neal and Bobby Brown. Charisse Neal was married to Vince Neal for 7 years. And Bobby Brown, who, of course, was a guest on my show before, Dirty Rocker Boys is her book. They were guests on it. We had Mickey Finn from Jet Boy. Richie Kotzen told some funny-ass stories. Gilby Clark. Love that guy. Gilby Clark stopped by, talked some motorcycles. It was all live. We also had a new guy I never knew before and met. Great guy, Chris Kale from Five Finger Death Punch. What a great guy that was. That guy is. He tells a cool story how he joined the band on this episode. My good friend DJ Will was in the house. I love him. Known him for years. DJ Will's going to start DJing our live podcast whenever we do them out on location. So that's going to be kick-ass. I love DJ Will. Check him out on KNAC. And you know who was there? If you guys are old as fuck like me, Jesse Camp was in the house. I don't know if you know who that is, but he... He was that guy in the 80s that won Wanna Be a MTV VJ contest. He was tall, skinny guy.
Hey, man, I'm Jesse Camp, and I love Poison. Here's Poison with Jesse Camp.
Guy's got the crazy. I got a crazy voice. He's got fucking insane voice.
Hey, man, I want I want to just be a VJ and get some women, man.
This guy's crazy. He was there, man. So fucking weird how you can forget about something or somebody, and then it comes back in your life years later. So he's going to do a full episode on Let There Be Talk. So is Charisse Neal. Also, Duff McKagan will be coming up here in the next couple weeks. All great guests. Can't wait. Duff McKagan, man. Wow. I've been trying to wrangle him up. Looks like he's going to do it. He said he would. It's going to be good. Jim Florentine. Love the guy. So cool that Bill Burr introduced me to Jim Florentine about a year ago, and we've just been we hit it off, man, he and I. Anyway, him and Don Jameson and Eddie Trunk, we all went out to the Rock Golden God Awards, which was last week, and that was incredible. They gave Axl Rose the Lifetime Achievement Award. Guns N' Roses played, or Axl played, and Duff, and then the other guys, as I like to call them. Axl, Duff, and the other guys. Great band. Dice, Andrew Dice Clay, and Nick Cage gave Axl the Lifetime Achievement Award. Nick Cage, God, I love Nicolas Cage, man. You see him? The guy's cool. Right? I mean, fuck. Nicolas Cage told a story about how he went to the Troubadour to see Guns N' Roses, and it was the first time that GNR had played Welcome to the Jungle. That's pretty fucking cool. Dice, I met Ace Frehley. Never met Ace. Can you imagine you meet Ace after, like, it's the first rock band that you loved as a kid? There he was. I go, hey, Ace, how are you? He's all, do I know you? I was like, oh, yeah, man. Just fucking hit him with that one so he'd rap with me. Works. Ace, D. Snyder, and then my good friend Chuck Billy from Testament. Got to spend some quality time with Chuck Billy. He's going to do the podcast next month, Chuck Billy from Testament. Man, I love that guy. It was great. It was so weird to spend the whole night with Chuck. We just hung out all night. Sat front row balcony. We just grabbed some seats and said, these are ours, and boom, watched Joan Jett destroy, Guns N' Roses rocket, Slayer. Anyway, you get the idea. Golden God Awards was just fantastic. Thank you, Jim Florentine, for having me down there. One last thing before I do go on. We do have another sponsor, my good friends up there in the Bay Area, McGuire Harley-Davidson. They've moved. They've got a brand new dealer. Just incredible, this dealer. Go see it. It's beautiful. They've got like a glass roof, natural lighting in there. You can see all the bikes, the paint jobs. The place is just beautiful. These Harley dealers, man, some are really nice and then some are beyond. And that McGuire's went all out. Can't believe how cool it is. Go see them. Check them on their website, McGuire-HD.com. They're at 93 First Avenue North, Pacheco, California. So if you live up in the Bay Area, do me a favor. Make that your dealer. They're great guys. They're a family-owned dealer. I really love these dudes. They have tons of great pre-owned bikes. Killer service department. They hooked me up. My bike's running good. I got new headlight I was talking about. I can see. My street has no lights and it has tons of fucking cougars, and not the right kind of cougars. I got cougars and mountain lions up here. Cougars! Check them out. McGuire Harley-Davidson. These guys, and they like rock and roll, so fucking support them. Del Razors. Last but not least, Comedy Living Room. I've got to give these guys a shout out. I did a show at the Comedy Living Room last week. Look them up on Twitter. Let me see what it is while I look for it. Comedy Living Room is this guy, a couple guys, they put on a show in Hollywood over off of Melrose and Cherokee. And you're like, yeah, they do a show in their house? That sounds dumb. And then I go, and it's fantastic. It's a big house. They set it up. You're like in a comedy club. They got video monitors all over. They got a keg of beer. They have a backyard with a fireplace and couches with monitors back there. There's people everywhere. And it's like a comedy commune, man. It's just this compound of laughing. And I couldn't believe it. It was blowing my mind. I'm in there. I'm doing a set. And so it's like you're at a keg party. And everyone's listening to you talk, you know, like old days, like you did a bump of coke and you're like, yeah, and then I went to Magic Mountain and boom, motherfucker. It was crazy. I love it. The Comedy Living Room. If you visit L.A., they only do the show, I think, once a month. But if you live in L.A., you got to go to this. I think it's free, too. I'm not sure. Or a donation or something. But they had like a poster made with all the comics' names. I was there with Kyle Kinane and Neil Brennan. I fucking love those guys. They had a poster made. We all signed it and they auctioned it off. And they have shirts and shit. This shit is, I mean, it's just incredible. The Comedy Living Room. Thank you guys for having me. You got something special there. Last but not least, thank you to Mark Maron. I got to open for him at another great place, the Steve Allen Theater. Steve Allen Theater is on Hollywood Boulevard. I feel like a dick because I think they changed their name. Hold on, let me look real quick. Steve Allen Theater is super cool, man. It's on Hollywood Boulevard. It's like a small little mini theater. And they... the place is great. The people that work there, everything about it. These venues I've been doing lately, just the people are just so cool. And the audience is even better, man. They're there. They're comedy people. I love it. Mark, I love you, man. Of course, I can't say it enough. You've changed my life, and you're a fantastic human being, man. Mark Maron. Please follow him, people. Watch his TV show. Listen to his podcast. Go see him live out there in America. You will not, you know, I mean, this guy is one of the king comedians and great people. Mark Maron. That's it. I'm going to get out of here. You want to follow that theater? Let me tell you what it's called real quick. I hope I get it. Oh, here it is. Their Twitter is Trepany House. Trepany House. It's Trepany House. That's where I performed with Mark Maron. It was Steve Allen Theater. They changed it to that. And then, of course, check out Comedy Living Room. Fucking great. Thanks, everybody. Love you guys. Give me some donations if you got anything. It helps. $5, anything. This is a labor of love. Still trying to get a hard drive. I need a hard drive for the fucking podcast, man. They're stacked up and they filled my computer up. My computer is fixed, but I still need hard drive and some other equipment. Any donations would help. DeanDelRay@yahoo.com. Also want to give a shout out to Cougar Peekaboo, who I met, friend I met at the store, who loves Let There Be Talk. And you guys on iTunes, subscribe, tell a friend, all that stuff. Write reviews. You guys' reviews have lagged. I only got 2 last week. Thousands and thousands of people, I got 2 reviews. Put down the bong. Put down the weed. All right, guys. See you this week with Jay Moore. Here it is, the live podcast from the Laugh Factory. Thanks, Jim Florentine. See you guys. I'm going to bring Jim up right now. Let's hear it for Jim Florentine. How are you, bud?
Get off my buddy Dean Del Rey kicking ass up here, huh? And you know all those stories are true of him doing coke. He was definitely, right? He didn't make that shit up. He's fucking, you know. He's only 24 years old. He's been doing coke for a long time. You look good for 24, though.
What's happening, guys? No. Thanks for coming out, man. It's fantastic. Yeah. My good friend Jim, we're going to bring a couple guests up. But before we do, last night we were at the Golden God Awards. Anybody go to that?
We have a winner in the house.
Yeah,
like
we got a winner
before.
In the house right here. It was great. It was at the Nokia, and they inducted Axl Rose in, which was fun.
That was awesome, yeah. Axl came out, gave a nice speech, and actually said, you know, hey, I want to thank all the the different versions of the bands, all
that
the
was cool,
I play
right?
with, yeah. Which actually, and said a few words, nice words, and then went up and played, did like 9 songs.
I was wondering if you know how he has the cross tattoo on his arm, the original cross. Anybody there? I wonder if he had like Slash removed from the cross. No.
I don't know.
I don't know either, but can you imagine if you didn't like someone and every day you're looking down at like, motherfucker, one of these days. I love it, though. It was great. Joan Jett played. She was unbelievable. Yeah. How great was she?
She was great, man. I've never seen her live before.
Yeah, it sounded so good, man. I couldn't believe it. She rocked fierce.
Billy Gibbons came out in the middle of the set all hammered, just walked on stage and was just... Yeah, just dancing with her, and then he just walked back off. He was on a minute. He didn't play guitar, just walked out.
He just cruised out and did the Tube Snake Boogie.
Yeah, and then walked back. Yeah.
They're like, hey, Billy, this ain't your show. He's like, are you sure? Where's my guitar?
It's a nice award you get, too, Chris. You got it, right, with the statue and stuff. There was comeback at a year. Deep Purple won it, and they weren't there. They were on tour over in Europe. So I guess they just threw the statue on the side of the stage, like in a box. So at the end of the show, they would just clean it up. I saw it in a box, so I took it. So I have the, I stole it. Yeah,
eBay.
I stole it. Yeah. No, I'm keeping it. I'm going to put it in my office.
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I put it in a beer box. I didn't want people to think this guy's fucking stealing someone's award.
That's so
I'm walking around. People are like, give me one of those beers. I'm like, nah, they're for my friends upstairs. Again. Can't have any.
And I heard if you crack it open, it's loaded with Coke.
I put it in Jameson's backpack, and we snuck it out.
That's so great.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, Ian Gillan.
Absolutely.
Ian Gillan's a big fan of my podcast, so he'll be listening to this.
I'll sell it back to him.
Yeah, right. What else was cool there? Slayer opened the show. Surprise guest Slayer, and they sounded great. They played a new song. Imploded.
Yeah, brand new song. Yeah, yeah, it was really good.
Imploded, I think. And then they had, of course, no Dave Lombardo. That was weird. First time I've seen him without Dave. I mean, I saw him originally without Dave. In 2002 or something, but that was strange. It's half of Slayer now.
Yeah, I don't. There's some bad blood there over money issues, so I don't think Dave's coming back.
Yeah, it's weird because there's no money, so they're fighting over about 30 cents. Right. So you remember when you were in high school and then you didn't get your change for buying an apple pie? You're like, hey, bitch, where's my 30 cents? It's right back to that. That's what's going on right now. Right.
That's funny, man. Nick Cage was there, too. Nick actually introduced... I guess he's good friends with Axl, so he introduced Axl. Gave him a nice introduction. There was 3 people I wanted to get pictures with that I didn't have. Nick Cage, Richie Zambora was there, and also Carmen Electra.
Yeah.
I'd never met Carmen before, so I wound up getting all 3. I was excited about that.
I was pretty fired up. I met Ace.
Yeah, Ace was cool. Yeah, absolutely. I didn't think I was going to get Richie because the opening monologue, we did some jokes. And I said, if he hears this joke, he's definitely not going to take a picture with me. I said, Richie Zambora is here tonight. I go, he's currently not playing in Bon Jovi right now. I go, you could tell by looking at this crowd because there's no fat soccer moms out here. But luckily, he must not have seen the opening monologue because he was totally nice to me like 20 minutes late. He's like, yeah, dude, we'll take a picture. Cool, absolutely. So I'm like, cool.
Or he did see it and he was just like, was that you?
No, he didn't. He'll see it when they show it on TV in like a month. He'll be like, that fuck.
That was fun, man.
Yeah.
Jim got me in. I snuck in, right? I like sneaking around old school. Just try to do whatever you can at a rock show, right? Just like, fuck. I was with Chuck Billy, and I go, these are our seats, front row balcony. No, they're not. Oh, yeah, they are. But okay. And then we just sat there, front row balcony.
Oh, yeah.
No one threw us out.
You always move up at shows. Whenever there's empty seats, you sit there, and then if you get kicked out, you look at your ticket, the band's on, and just look for other seats, like 2 rows over, like 4 empty. You're like, oh, over there, and you just start pointing, and then you just go sit over there. It's fucking a piece of cake.
Yeah, Jim, you had a good story, right? You'd buy like three or one good ticket and three shitty ones, right? And then you'd just pass the good ticket off.
Yeah, we'd have 10 people go. You buy two in the night in the good section, and you buy like 8 lawn seats. So you get the two down there. Then you get one guy to walk back with the tickets. So he goes back to the lawn, gives it to him, and we get everybody down, and you just scatter all about. Fucking beautiful.
I used to do this one, and I don't know if it works still, but you just go to the backstage gate with an empty guitar case and just walk on through. No one says shit. You're like, yeah, so soundcheck was good. Fuck yeah. And you just keep when the guy's like, oh, they're in the band, yeah. And you're fucking in, dude. Then you just throw that case to the side and pick it up at the end of the night. That works. And also renting a wheelchair when you go to Magic Mountain. Yeah, we're not feeling that good. My buddy got hurt. We need to go to the front of the line. That's another hot tip.
Yeah, the Ozfest, when they used to have the two stages, and I had the small stage in Jersey at this PNC venue, they had it like right by the parking lot, so you would want to park right there, so you didn't even have to go in at like 2 p.m. You could watch the bands in the parking lot, hang out and tailgate, but you had to, it was in the handicap section, so we're like, all right, we pull up to the security guy, one guy in the front seat is going to have to act like he's retarded so we can get them in a handicap. Because we didn't have to pass. So like Jim Norton would go to a concert with me or whatever. He'd be in the front. He looks retarded
Jim
anyway.
Norton.
In a good way.
Burn victim.
Yeah, so we'd put him and he'd just be like this and he'd be drooling. I'm like, and I just pull up and the guy's like, you got to go. I go, no, look, we got to get him in the front. He's like, okay, go, go, go. And I'm like, all right, there's 6 other cars behind us too. He's getting, so all my friends be right
Jim
up there.
Carrey, handyman, remember that? You could never do handyman now, right?
No.
Hey, look at this. Hey, that shit ain't cool, man. Shut it down. Handyman rocked.
But I actually got the handicap, one of those, the real handicap things. My grandmother passed away like 10 years ago. She left me that.
That's awesome.
I didn't want her jewelry. I didn't want fucking silverware from 1920. I just give me, and that's the greatest thing ever. So whenever I go to a concert, right there, hang it right up, fucking front row, nice.
I'm always afraid to rock that because I'm afraid, like, on the way I get in a crash and I really need that thing later, right? They're like, yeah, there you go, like that God heart attack cocaine thing. Hey, we got some great guests. We're going to bring them up right now. We have some amazing musicians here, but we also have a couple ladies who were married to some famous musicians, all right? And I think that's always interesting because who the fuck wants to marry one of us dirtbags, right? We're going to bring them up right now. Charisse Neal and Bobby Brown right here. Let's hear it for them. Yeah. So Charisse married to Vince Neal. How long?
7 years.
7 years.
Long ass.
Felt like 20?
Yes.
And then Bobby Brown, Cherry Pie video, married to Janie Lane. Cherry Pie! They're both on a show called Ex-Wives of Rock. Anybody seen it? Very cool. Now, I had Bobby on my podcast, and it fucking was a massive episode. People love it. And the whole time I was
trying. The book is great.
Yeah, the book is fantastic.
Very unedited.
But I know, it is. Yeah, exactly. And it should be.
Yeah. I read it in one night and I was there. I was like, holy shit, I forgot about that. Oh my God, and that? Well, she wrote about that? She has a daughter. Crap.
Oh. What are you going to do? You got, you know, just say, you tell the daughter, I just made that up, but meanwhile, it's real.
Oh, I said every experience. Chapter was a new dick. And Bob, but it's true. Bobby was like, I never looked at it like that. Instead of chapter one, it should have been chapter dick from Ohio.
Or just put a penis as the one.
Yeah.
And then just put penises each chapter.
That'd be cool. But Charisse, you seemed like you were always
I'm her wingman.
Fixing her. Like, oh, let's get it. Like, there's a time where Bobby lights Kevin Costner's bedroom on fire. Right? Yeah, tell that story.
How did that
tell the story? Oh, well, yeah. Tell it.
Yeah.
It's better from you.
Well, you forgot the part where he was rubbing my feet and your hand at the same time. And we were
I
like
drooling and passed out.
Who
time,
does he so. Like? I can't tell. Does he like you or me? He's got my feet, but he's got your hand.
You think he was looking for two on one?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Without a doubt. Yeah.
Yes. And then when we left that night, I glanced back to say bye, thanks for inviting us, and he rolled his eyes.
Well, yeah, because his room was on fire at that point.
Yeah. Now tell the story. It's pretty funny.
I had been up, I guess, 24 hours prior to that.
Bobby likes the little powders back in the day.
Yeah.
Was it coke or was it meth? Because
meth. Yeah. And I had been up, and she went out with me, and I started the evening with breaking his crystal and being like, oh, it's a Greek restaurant. Hey. And then we went to go watch a movie, and I passed out and drooled on the couch and fell face
first. Well, he was rubbing
carpet.
Your hand.
I don't even remember that.
It's very relaxing.
Yeah.
So he took both of you guys out on a date?
No. This is the way it happened. We met him at a party, and then he called us. He called me at my house, and I said, oh, hey, my friend Bobby's here. And
he goes,
put her on. Put her on. So we all started talking, and this is what he did. He goes, are you watching Channel 11?
It's so creepy.
And I said, no, why? And he goes, turn it on.
Yeah. Dances with Wolves.
Yeah. He's like,
really?
He's like,
Kevin, in case you didn't know who I was, Channel 11.
I know.
Right now.
I said,
at any time.
Just a fucking loincloth.
He's like, that's you. He goes, yeah, this scene I was really concentrating on, you know, the essence of that. He literally was talking me through the scenes.
Yeah, and I
was tapping her going.
Talk on TV, he'd be like,
so
then
cheesy.
I was like, and watch his scene, and we'd be like, oh, what the fuck?
If it was Waterworld, you probably would have hung up on him,
Waterworld.
Right?
Waterworld. He's all about Waterworld.
He invited us to watch a movie at his house, and I'm like, does he like you or does he like me?
I can't tell.
Now, was it one of his movies that you're watching at his house, too?
No, it wasn't.
Ed TV.
Ed TV?
Yeah, it was Matthew McConaughey, Ed TV.
No, it wasn't. It was.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. It was.
Fuck yeah, we got to fight.
Analyze this with.
No, it wasn't.
Yes, it was.
No, it wasn't. Because it had.
Oh!
But he didn't do the porno thing.
He didn't put a porno on for you guys to watch.
No. But he had a big old couch, and we were both laying on it, and she was on one side, and I was on the other, and he grabbed my feet and started rubbing him, but then I saw he grabbed her hands.
I was conked out. I don't remember any of this.
Conked out on meth? That's bad shit.
No, I'd been up.
You got to get a better dealer.
She was up for 5 days. She needed a nap, you know?
It was time for me to sleep at that point. I was bored.
Anyway, she lit his house on fire and we left.
So wait, how did the house get on fire if you conked out?
She's smoking in his house.
I lit a cigarette. He's like, oh, there's no smoking in here. There's no smoking. I was like, really? I was smoking anyway. And I went and just flicked my cigarette across the room in this huge fireplace, which was like the size of the wall. So I thought, I'm not going to miss. And I did. And it landed on his, what was it?
It was scarves. He had scarves.
Scarves.
He's like scarves.
His Dancing with Wolves outfit.
His scarves were hanging.
Landed on his loincloth.
On the mantle. Landed on the mantle. Scarves. And all of a sudden I see the flames and I took my scarf around my neck and started beating the walls with it. And then I was trying to be funny with her, like, hey, check it out. And they popped him in the eye with it and hit me in the face on the way back. And I was like, peace out. We gotta go. So bad.
What was he saying to you guys?
He thought I was nuts and was like, get the fuck out of here.
Later. No, he was not.
Yes, he was.
No, he was not. He was like, well, now it's getting late. I was like, yes, it was.
Kind of like, get the fuck out of here. It was kind of like, you know, the get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, I mean, like, if some chick sets my house on fire, you're leaving. Yeah. I'm not going to be like, hey, you know, this is.
He was being nice about it. Like, oh, yeah, it's getting late. But he was like, get the fuck out.
Charisse, what years were you married to Vince?
Oh, long.
Let me ask you, instead of what years, what records?
All right.
That's better, right? Because you're like, oh, what is it? Is it Dr. Feelgood? Or is it fucking, you know?
I think he had finished with Theater of Pain.
Okay.
Went on to...
Girls.
Girls.
Yeah,
thank you.
Right. Video.
Thanks,
Sweet
Cheeks.
Yeah, Sweet Cheeks.
Then to Dr. Feelgood, and then I broke up with him right before he got fired.
Wow.
Or was it right after?
You felt it, right? You're like, he's out, so I am. Well, I mean, if you're a chick that dates rock stars, you're like, heck, you're gone.
Listen, it was a very long, hard babysitting job.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, Vince seems to be, I mean, I love the crew. He seems, you know what I like about him? He's a full outlaw. Of course, he's never changing.
He's a full alcoholic? Is that what you said?
No, outlaw.
Oh.
But yeah, you
like
said
too.
Alcoholic.
That too.
I thought you said alcoholic.
Which is code for alcoholic. I'm an outlaw. All right, here's a drink.
They're sometimes similar creatures.
You can't be sober outlaw. That's just ridiculous, right? I'm an outlaw, but I don't drink. Get the fuck out of here.
It's true.
So what was that like, though? I mean, like,
it
I
was,
mean...
It was super...
Here's what I want to ask. You know he's fucking other girls, right?
No.
No?
No.
I told you.
So you didn't know, like...
That's when I left.
I know. know.
You told me and I left.
And she smashed a glass of drink in his face and his clothes and broke his nose.
Who was he fucking?
Really scary.
Porn chicks?
Yeah.
Porn chicks?
Yeah.
And you didn't think at all Vince Neil from Motley Crue's hitting some side woolly?
I didn't like... I was 20 and I didn't even like rock and roll.
You got fucked. You're burned. Because once rock's in you, it doesn't get out, right?
What?
Once it's in you, it doesn't get out.
Ew.
No, I'm saying you're rock for life. I'm not saying.
I'm like, ew.
It's like a VD. You're just like, I'm a rocker.
But Charisse, did you go on tour with them? Like, did you see the scene and all that stuff?
Yeah,
were you out for a while with them?
You know, he would never look at other women. He called me 10 times a day.
Cars.
10 times a day?
10 times. Like, look, listen, when he woke up, before he ordered breakfast, after he ordered breakfast, before he went to the gig, when he got to the gig, right before dinner, after dinner, before the show, right after show, and then when he got to his room.
And presents constantly.
Those are the guys you want to worry about.
I thought, well, he's into me.
Yeah.
Hey, you there?
Yeah.
You know, I had no idea.
Yeah.
Literally.
Tell him how we met. Tell him how we met.
Yeah, just chilling with Tommy.
Yeah. Probably. Yeah. I am gullible.
That's fun.
I'm gullible. She will tell you. I am gullible.
Where are you from?
Super gullible.
I'm from Orange County, but I have hope in people, and I believe what people say to me.
That's a nice element, for real.
But maybe it didn't happen in the beginning. Maybe it happened towards the end of the relationship. Maybe he wasn't doing
know.
That in the beginning.
I how we met.
I find
tell
it
him how you met.
Well, I don't remember, but you say you do.
This got to go up here.
I was 4 months pregnant. Hey, that's what he said. anyway.
Wait, I don't know if you guys know Bobby Brown's book. She said actually Leonardo DiCaprio has a bigger penis than Tommy Lee, which is fucking pretty impressive.
I really am so annoyed with that being the
you wrote
point
it
at that point. You
but
wrote
that's
it.
Great, though. That's a good tidbit to know.
Yeah. Maybe he just hadn't grown into it yet like a puppy.
If he knew how to use it, it might have been better.
He didn't know how to. Well, he was young.
Moving on.
Okay, how did you meet?
But when you got something that big,
Vince?
You don't have to worry about how to use it. Not that I know.
How did you meet my husband? My slimy husband.
He had a concert or show, and she was there, and I remember seeing her in the video, and she was so gorgeous or whatever, and he came up to me and hit on me. 4 months pregnant. I'd just gotten married.
Vince hit on you when you were four. Did he know you were 4 months pregnant?
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. Yeah.
No.
Oh, why not? I don't know if he knew or not. I was married. Anyway, he didn't care. His wife was there. And I went,
rocker.
Aren't you married? And he's like, yeah, my wife's over across the room somewhere. And I went, really? So I walked over to her and I introduced myself. So
that's
like,
a guy you marry.
Huh?
Right?
No.
He's cheating on his wife. And you
no.
go, that's the guy
listen,
for me.
Listen, I met his rep. Obviously, I didn't meet him.
Okay.
Right? But I loved her ever since. I
mean, yeah. You guys got a great friendship. How long have you guys been friends?
20-something.
Over 20 years.
20-something.
Is your show on right now?
It's in reruns.
Okay, and then are you shooting a new season?
Huh? Yes.
Yes?
Season 3.
Third season, 26 episodes.
What network?
Fuse. And our whole crew is here tonight.
Yeah.
Say hi to the crew, guys. Say hi to the crew.
A row of handsome men are our crew.
Let's thank these beautiful ladies for coming up, huh? Let's hear it for us. Charisse Neal, Bobby Brown.
Bobby, what's the name of the book again?
Yeah.
Dirty Rocker Boys.
Love Dirty Rocker Boys.
Trip. Get it. It's a really
it's
good
It's a great
read.
Fucking book.
It
also,
really is.
She was on my podcast if you want to hear the whole episode. Thank you guys for coming down.
Thank
Did you,
for
you have fun at the show tonight?
So much fun. You guys
thank
are awesome.
You. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
There they are right there. How great was that, huh?
I'll tell you, man, Vince Neil, like mid-90s, I'm doing comedy like a year, and I get picked to go down to MTV for spring break when Pauly Shore had that whole show on. He had that massive crowd down there, so they had me do this bit where I was going to heckle him in the crowd, be like a heckler, and he goes, oh, if you think you're so funny, come up here and tell jokes, and I'm supposed to go up there, and they're supposed to laugh at every joke, and Pauly gets mad and throws me off the stage. I go, okay, fine. I do it, and at the last second, the producer goes, we're not going to tell the audience he's really a comic. And Paulie's like, no, you got to tell him because they're going to hate him. So they didn't tell him. I got booed off stage on TV, on MTV. I couldn't even get one joke out because they were fanatic. They just thought I was some asshole from the crowd. They didn't know I was a comic. So and they showed that like 100 times in MTV Spring. It made the best of Spring Break. But Vince was there. Vince Neil was a guest on Paulie's show. He came on after me. He felt so bad after. He goes, dude, man, that's fucked up what they did to you. He goes, hang with me this weekend. He took me out everywhere. We're in fucking it was in the mid-90s, so you guys weren't married anymore. But no, but what he did for me, he told every chick, he goes, hey, man, it's the new VJ at MTV. You better fuck him now.
Wow.
I must have got laid like seven times that week. And it
back
was
when a
awesome.
VJ could get puss.
Yeah, because he's like, you start next week. I had long hair and shit. They're like, really? And it was beautiful.
Can you imagine right now you go up to a chick, hey, I'm a VJ on MTV. They'd be like, get the fuck out of here,
like,
loser.
Is that still on? Yeah. What are you, intro Jersey Shore? What the fuck is that? So,
all right, gotta
so
bring
Vince
our
got like Vince got like seven assists that weekend. So
let's bring up our next guest. This guy's been a friend of mine, I think, for about 10 years. I absolutely love him, Mr. Gilby Clark. Let's hear it for him, Gilby Clark. Played in a little band called Guns N' Roses, right? How are you, bud? God, so good to see you. How you doing?
I'm great. I'm great.
Everybody say hi to Gilby, huh?
I'm not one of the sober rockers. Not.
Well, yeah.
Nice. You know, Gilby, last time I saw you was I was at the Guns N' Roses Rock and Roll Hall induction
right.
in Cleveland
yeah.
when you went up and jammed. That was pretty cool that night.
That was actually a really fun night. It could have been a really bad night, but we decided like the day before to all show up and go, and we had a great time. We did the rehearsal at like 1 o'clock in the 1 o'clock in the morning, and then did the show. It was great.
Yeah, I remember because Duff was doing like a spoken word thing.
Yeah,
you guys
yeah.
were hanging afterwards and rehearsed, yeah. And Miles went up and sang, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, we really put it together like the day before, you know, which is true. Guns N' Roses.
The happiest guy, if you ever watched the footage, is Steven Adler was just so happy to be up there and play. And
wearing that metal show shirt.
I know, that was fucking awesome, yeah.
Definitely plugging it.
How old are you, Gilby?
I'm 52.
Look how good this
Holy
guy looks.
Shit.
Right? Wow. I'm fucking 48 and I look like a garbage can. God, I just rolled up here like a tumbleweed, like, hey, man, I remember you at the Rainbow, man. Trans Am.
I did that in my 30s.
Did you do a lot of coke back in the day?
We did it all. I did it all. Yeah. I mean, I curbed it after a while, but yeah. I mean, you had to. I mean, that was where all the fun was.
Right.
A lot of people don't know Gilby was in a serious motorcycle crash. So not only was he in a crash, but he looks great. He was hit by a guy that ran, you know, like on his Harley. And he's still riding now, right?
Yeah, Sturgis every year, right?
Sturgis every year, right?
Yep. Doing it again this year. You coming?
Is your band playing?
Yeah, we're playing two nights again. Yeah.
This is great. Last year I had Gilby on right before he was leaving. So he goes, yeah, man, I'm doing Sturgis, and they said it was going to be a couple shows. Turned out it was like 14.
five.
But over 2 weeks, though. They wanted him to stay, right?
I had never been there for more than like 2 or 3 days, you know. But, yeah, we were there for a good week plus. Yeah.
Wow.
But it was fun.
That's too long if you've been to Sturgis. After a while, you can only hear so much.
I mean, I like Leonard Skinner like the next guy, but, you know, come on. That's overkill.
Here's an interesting thing I found when you leave Sturgis. If you've never been to South Dakota, you get there, and some years there's 200,000 to 300,000 motorcycles, not fucking 10. So when you get home, this happened to me. You're laying in bed like, fuck, I'm home. And then you go, are some people here on bikes? And you look out your window and it's cars. Everything, your brain gets tuned to the motorcycle sound.
Everything sounds like a motorcycle.
It's fucking crazy. You'll go like, what the fuck?
It's crazy in a good way, though.
It is. It is. But everything, like the UPS trucks, it's like, Gilby here? What have you been up to, man?
What have I been up to? You know, just playing when we can. I got a tour this summer. We're going to my solo band. We're going to do Europe for about 2 or 3 weeks. Then I'm going on tour with Quiet Riot.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you opening or are you playing?
Of course
Quiet?
I'm opening. Yeah,
right. But I mean...
My solo band. So yeah, we're opening.
Gotcha,
yeah. Have you seen that Duff's been doing some gigs with Axel?
Yes, I did, yeah. I talked to Duff before, you know, he went and did the trip.
Right. Yeah, and they played last night at the Golden Gate.
Yeah, I didn't see it. I wasn't there last night.
What was that conversation? Like, he called you up and said, I'm playing with him?
Well, no, I mean, he told me, he called Slash and Duff, or Slash and Matt first to tell him what was going on. And then he called me to tell me what was happening. And I just wanted to see, you know, where his head was at.
Right.
you know, because, I mean, it's been a few years, you know.
Yeah.
It's a different band. They have a new record out, or, you know, new old record out. But it's different songs. It's a whole different vibe. 3 guitar players. 2 keyboard players. So I just, you know, wanted to see where he was at with it.
It was pretty interesting to see because he's playing there's a Chinese Democracy and they're playing better. And, you know, it's got like loops going and stuff. And it's just kind of like you got a corner of this old school. I took a picture of just the two guys.
Yeah.
And then you've got this, the rest of the guys. And it's just kind of interesting to see.
Yeah. I mean, look, we all know. Look, it's good music. It's great music.
Fuck yeah.
It's good stuff. It's just different from our memory of what Guns N' Roses is.
Correct.
But like I said, as far as music, it's good.
Yeah. Could be the greatest debut record of all time.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean,
better than Knack.
Better than
but, yeah, but do you have any have you had any contact with Axl over the years? At
no,
all,
you know, I the last time I saw him was, geez, probably in the mid '90s, and it had been like about 5 or 6 years since I last spoke with them. And then he came out. We used to do a Thursday night at the Cat Club. We used to do like a residency, a band called the Starfuckers, and we played every Thursday night for like 10 years. And he showed up one night and just sitting at the bar. You know, having a drink, and so we asked him to come up and jam, and he sat in on a couple songs, and we started talking, and as we're talking, I go, we're having the same conversation we had 6 years ago.
Wow.
Right.
And one, you know, of those, it's like one,
it
of those,
was like it started coming back to me. I go, oh my God, that's what we were talking about there. I go, and it just came back to me all at once. But yeah, that was the last time I spoke with him.
He's, you know, they're actually, he's going on stage like at 9 o'clock and 9:15. Like,
come on, I don't believe it.
No, yeah, seriously, for the really? Last like year, he's been going on. Yeah,
they even, good for
they
him.
Even put
good
it in him. The ads too, like, yeah. Guns N' Roses start time 9 p.m. Like,
yeah, it used to be around.
Yeah,
somebody said something great last night. Though, they said that's because he's getting older and he goes to bed around midnight. It used to be I get up around 7, get out of bed around 9. Right, get on the bus around 11. Going to bed, I'm not doing fine.
No.
What else going on, man?
That's it, just playing, you know, riding the bike, you know, yeah, stuff you like work, that. Hey, I got the wife out tonight.
Yeah, the wife? Yeah, there she is right there.
Yeah.
She's still got a jean line?
Yeah, oh, yeah, Frankie B.
Frankie B. Yeah. Jeans. Any ladies want some great jeans? How great is that? You got a lady that has a successful business.
That's great.
Cool.
It's a great thing. And all the girls are all friends?
They're all friends, yeah, right there. Yeah. Now, let me
ask us how long we've been married.
How long you been married?
How long we've been married? A long time.
Well, I saw your daughter, and she was an adult.
She's in college.
We were
now.
At like a party, and you're like, "This is my daughter." I was like, "Oh, I mean, usually rocker."
I had to tell you it was my daughter. Just
I was like, "Hey, who's your wife's friend?" Yeah. She like rock.
But you know, Dean, you know how I've been married for a long time.
Yeah.
Because I'm not in Bobby's book.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Because if you weren't, you probably exactly. would have been in there.
What a bummer that would be, right? Your wife's just reading it. Have you read Bob? What the fuck? Chapter 4.
It's not like we get
Gilby.
Warning calls.
Now, you, a lot of people don't know, but Gilby actually makes motorcycle parts and stuff for his bike, like pipes and all kinds of stuff, works on people's bikes. That's cool, man.
Yeah, well, remember back, you know, a few years ago on all Discovery, they had a bunch of motorcycle shows, people building stuff, and most of them were fools.
Yeah.
You know, there's a couple good, Jesse was good, you know. And I looked at them, I go, I'm brighter than that guy, and I know motorcycles pretty well, so I started making them, and... You know, did a couple bikes, got in a couple magazines, and it's a now in LA, it's a great scene. I see you out there. You know, there's great choppers out there. They're made by these young. They're all like 20 years old.
It's amazing
bikes that you think it's 1969, and we have like a lot of shows where we do like weekend campouts where we take these choppers, we ride them, camp out for 2 or 3 nights, and have a great party like it used to be.
And Gilby does this thing called the El Diablo Run.
El Diablo Run.
And you gotta listen now. There's no fucking shocks on these bikes, so you're just getting your balls smashed down to Tijuana. Just oh, this is great.
It is great. Come on,
it is great. It's that
man stuff you're talking about.
It is man stuff. Yeah. But I absolutely love the biker culture of Southern California. I grew up on it, and it really is thriving now. You see, I mean, these great bikes, these great guys ride.
Yeah, young kids, they have art shows, they have bike shows. Like, really, once or twice a month, there's some good kind of show to go hang out and, you know, ride your bike to.
You were saying before about Chuck Billy from Testament. His son wanted to ride, and Chuck's like, fuck you, I'm not buying you a bike.
Yeah, I grew up with Chuck Billy, and we figured out last night we've known each other 35 years, and about 25 of those we rode motorcycles. I still ride. And we used to go on this run all the way up north to the Redwoods called the Redwood Run.
I know it well.
So I said, Chuck, you going on the Redwood Run this year? And he goes, nah, man, I sold the bike and I retired. He goes, I rode 30 years without going down. I figured, why press my luck?
So that's then, one of us.
So then he tried to get his son to ride for years, and his son was like, fuck that. But then Sons of Anarchy came out, and his son was like, I want to ride. Will you loan me money? And Chuck said, nope. You're on your own on that one. I'm not buying you something that might kill you. And so he was like, fuck you, and went and bought it, and now they're back good, you know, but it was like, he was mad, like, you rode all your life.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a hard one, man.
It is, right?
Tough. Well, also, riding in L.A., this is, I mean, you're a New York boy, but this is brutal, riding a motorcycle in this town. Everybody's on their phone, and I can't tell you how many cars I kick and throw my lock at them, and it's brutal out
yeah.
there.
Right, just not paying attention. No,
and weed smokers. I always say you're splitting lanes, and it's like, texter, weed smoke. After a while, there's so much. I don't smoke weed, so it gets in my helmet. I'm like, man, right. I'm fucked up. I'm just riding downtown. I'm already stoned, and I'm like, this sucks, right?
It's brutal out there, but that sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, yeah, right. Gilby Clark, let's hear it for him, guys.
Yeah,
thank
man. Thanks,
man.
Guys. Thank you.
Did you have fun, man?
Awesome, man.
Hold on, stay up. We're gonna bring up. We're going to bring up my good friend Richie Kotzen right here. He played with Poison. He played with Mr. Big and the Winery Dogs now. Let's hear it for Richie Kotzen. Come on. Yeah. How are you, buddy? Good to see you, man. Richie right there. Look at this guy. Like, look at these two guys look like it's fucking like they're 24. Right? They're like, where's the chicks? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, get rid of the roadie.
There you go. We got one right here.
There you go.
Thank you. I have my own.
If you've never seen Richie play, check out some videos online or whatever. Just unbelievable.
Has anybody seen Richie?
They've all seen him play. Come on.
Yeah. Monster.
Yeah.
No
How are
pick
you, bud?
Either. He doesn't even use a pick. He's like, I don't fucking need that.
Pick.
Yeah, you never wear. Yeah, never.
You know what's really weird about the whole night?
What?
Can I say? Is this on?
Yeah.
The guy that let me in.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
The guy that let me in.
Yeah, Jamie.
At least 6 years ago,
uh-huh.
The same guy that threw me out. And I haven't been here since.
Yeah.
Why'd you get thrown out?
Still pissed about it.
Interesting story.
I don't get pissed.
You got to hear this story. It's pretty good. So has anybody ever seen the famous Michael Richards video from here? Yeah. All right, so go ahead. A week before the Michael Richards thing happened, Michael Richards was performing here, and Richie was sitting up here.
Up there.
And our good friend Jay Davis put on shows here on Tuesday nights. So Mike Richards comes down to do comedy. And go ahead, man.
Well, no, it was a nice night, and my friend Jay invited us down to witness a comedy night. And it got real dark real quick when Michael got up on stage. And I can't believe I'm telling this story.
I want to hear it. Come on. But,
yeah.
Well, I was sitting up there, and out of the blue, I decided to be a heckler. And I ruined his set.
Like what?
And a week later, I can't tell the story now. I put it on your pod.
I know. Anyway.
What were you heckling?
No, here's what happened.
Tell us. Yeah, why not?
So we were here, our friends were, and this is like 7 years ago probably, yep. Or six or seven. And he started doing this bit that wasn't funny. And then I went to the bathroom, I came back, and I was alone upstairs, and suddenly out of nowhere, in a beat moment when everything ended, I decided to lean forward, and it was like an out-of-body experience. I leaned forward and I said,
wrap it up.
In the middle of his act. And I would never do that because I love stand-up comedy.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I'm a huge fan of stand-up, and you know that,
yep.
Jay and I are like brothers, and mm-hmm. You and I go to all the shows. But something was dark and wrong, and there was a big dead space, and I leaned forward. I said, wrap it up.
From right up there. And he's the only one up there with a girl or a dude or something.
Because I'll tell the whole story. So I did that. And back then I had long black hair. I had a long black beard. And I had a black cowboy hat. And I leaned forward. I said, wrap it up. And he went crazy. And he said, who said that? And the key dialogue for the whole moment was what his rap was. Because he was talking real dark on Jesus and the United States and military, And there was something in the end of his thing that said, "Where is God anyway?" So when he was doing the whole, "Who said that? Who said that? Who said that?" I said this. I said, "God said that." And he's up here, asshole. And he looked up. And then, this is where it got really crazy. When I said that, he looked up and saw me all in black with my beard and my cowboy hat and my long hair. And he said to me, "Oh, you think you're God?" I said, "No, I don't. I think I came out here tonight to laugh. This is a laugh factory, and I wanted to have fun, and I wanted to hear jokes, and you're not funny. Why don't you let someone come up on stage and make us laugh? Because no one's laughing." So in that moment, he walked off stage, and he said a couple of words. He said, "Okay, fine, I'll leave." And he left. And within moments, the guy that let me in tonight was the same guy that came back doing his job.
Yeah.
And said, right, "If you heckle the comedian, I will remove you from the premises." And I said, "I won't say a word. I know I'm out of line." And with an instant, Michael Richards came back and went on a tirade and called me a redneck and out of his fucking mind. And then one or two things led to another, and we traded words, and we ended up at the stairs.
Oh, wait, so wait, Michael came up there. He didn't come back on the stage to say
there.
This.
He right,
but
right
he was
there.
Young. Okay.
And by then, he said to me, "I hope I made your night." And I said to him, "No, you didn't make my night, but I made your set, because before I opened my mouth, you were dying. So you should be thanking me." And then, of course, 2 weeks later, it was chaos.
You were basically his Ed McMahon, right?
I don't know. I was having fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Actually, no, I wasn't having fun, because I had a bad day, and I came here to have a good time and laugh.
You both were having a bad day, and you just took it out on each other. I love it, right?
But now we're friends. We play cards together.
Yeah, yeah. You guys are good buddies. He rides in your car with you. Yeah. What? So you got the Winery Dogs. Has anybody heard the Winery Dogs? It's him, Billy Sheehan. Yep.
It's a great band. You guys just shot another video yesterday, I think?
We did, yeah.
What song?
I'm No Angel.
Oh, it's great, man. It's a really good. Billy Sheehan, Mike Portnoy.
Why does your voice sound so much better than mine when you speak into the microphone?
Well, when you sing, your voice is fucking phenomenal. Yeah. Well, she knows, lucky she knows.
That's not the right song. That's Greg Allman.
No, that's one of Richie's solo songs.
Oh, I thought you were doing "I'm No Angel." That Greg Allman one, right? There's about five lyrics you got to use in rock. One is "Make Sweet Love." Angel, your eyes,
baby,
and look out!
Here I come!
You gotta look out! Right?
I remember I brought my friend to see you in New York when you were doing your solo thing, and he was just going nuts how good you were. He never heard of you. He's like, this fucking guy, he's Johnny Lang with balls. It was so fucking funny. Man.
Your microphone sounds so much louder than mine.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I know why. I got it. I know how to do it.
Now, does anybody remember Richie was in Poison? Yeah. You remember that?
Really? You guys are old.
You guys are old.
Because that was a long time ago. That's like
what was that, like 1991
when I did that, right?
You guys ever play together?
No, I don't think we ever have, huh?
No. We haven't.
No.
That's
no.
Kind of.
No, we've been at the same venue and stuff, but no, yeah.
That would be cool, you know, because.
I think we. Have
I don't
the same
remember
kind of
91,
roots.
I'm sorry.
But we have the same kind of roots, too.
Yeah.
Because we like all the fucking Keith Richards kind of like Telecaster fucking.
Exactly.
Fucking
one of the rare ones that plays a Telecaster.
Fender amp kind of like grungy shit. So I think we would actually, if you and I made a record together and wrote songs together, I think it would be ridiculous.
I say you guys
right?
do that.
Or no.
Yeah.
Right?
I think that's the best Stones record they never made.
I think we would connect right on. Some cool shit.
I say you guys do that, and then you come back and do the podcast, and we just break down the record.
Yeah.
Track for track,
and
we made the band.
It won't be a side project. It'll be the band.
Yeah, yeah. I get to
that's
come out.
What I hate, too. When you make a band, and you suddenly, it's a side project. There's no side project.
Yeah.
You're doing what you're doing in the moment. Like, I'm playing music now, and here's who I'm playing with, and it's not a side project. It's what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But, Richie, most of your career, you played as a solo artist. You had, you know, your players and stuff.
Your voice sounds ridiculous.
What?
God, why? Who is running sound?
Do you really like it that much?
No, I feel like I'm speaking to fucking Jesus.
Right? Well, all right, well... You're speaking to Jesus.
I am. Tonight, I am. And I will not say it again. Go.
But so how was it, you know, joining a band, the Winery Dogs, when you're not, you know, you were the main guy in your solo act and you bring some guys with you to play. And now you're playing with Billy Sheehan and Mike Portnoy. So now it's three big personalities, three huge guys. So is it tough for you to do it?
I didn't know I was going to play with them. But years before that, I read a book by Robert Greene called The 48 Laws of Power. And it taught me how to manipulate people.
I think Axl Rose read that book too.
He lives in Los Feliz, and he wrote many good books on manipulation. No, I'm joking. I'm trying to be funny.
No, that was.
It's a stand-up.
What with your voice?
Yeah, yeah.
We're sitting, but still.
Somebody just said, "Wrap it up up there."
Oh shit!
I don't know.
Wrap it up. See him. He's wearing a black hat and has long hair with a black beard.
Isn't that a T-Bird song? Wrap it up. I'll take it. No, every time Michael Richards hears that, he's like, fuck you.
Honestly, for real, like it was perfect timing because I had just been doing whatever the hell I do. And I thought to myself, or maybe I said it to somebody that I didn't see, but it was inside my head. And I said, hey, I should join a band. And then out of the blue, they appeared. And we made a band.
Right, and you played with Billy before and Mr. Big for a little while,
yeah,
too. So you know Billy for a long time.
Yeah. I actually ran into Billy and Richie in Japan. I was in Japan with the Stones, and I'm walking backstage.
Oh, we were opening.
And the Stones were opening for Mr. Big, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly, because Mr. Big sold 4 billion records in Japan. And there he was. I go, what the fuck are you doing here? I hadn't seen him in 15 years. He goes, oh, we're going on right now. I was like, what? And he had like a band with...
It was me and Billy Sheehan and Tal Bergman. It was a trio. Wow.
Yeah. And they just went out there and murdered Tokyo Dome, 80,000 people. Oh, yeah. It was great. You played Japan, right?
Yeah, the Tokyo Dome.
Tokyo Dome.
That's a pretty good, great place.
Guns N' Roses, how many nights?
I don't remember those years, Dean. Come on.
I know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, right?
Dean doesn't remember how long he's married. He's not going to know when he played the Tokyo Dome.
Yeah, right? If he did remember it, I'd be like, oh, what a phony. Yeah. Right? Like, there's guys. Like, what do you guys think about, bands now? I saw a band. I don't know what they were called. They went on after Slayer last night.
I think it was Day to Remember.
Day to Remember.
Was that who was on?
Was that them? It's kind of interesting because...
He's in a new band.
Yeah,
they're good.
What's it called?
Five Finger Death Punch.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Five Finger Death Punch, awesome, man.
Pretty fucking good.
Yeah. What new bands do you guys listen to? I really like Rival Sons. Have you heard them?
Rival Sons are great.
Unbelievable. Yeah, really their new record's going to be a smash. I dig that. I like Sheepdogs. Who do you like? Fang?
Red Fang is great. Stoner Rock. There's a band out of Austin called Scorpion Child.
Oh, they're great.
Sounds like 70s hard rock. Monster Trunk is a Monster Truck is a band out of...
That's a great name. Monster Truck?
Yeah, out of Canada is good.
How did I miss that one?
There's some good... a lot of stoner. King, K-Y-I-N-J.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Those guys are great, man.
Man, you guys are hip,
I heard them. They're pretty good. And that's
they're here tonight, didn't
you? You know what's amazing? What's amazing is that's the only two girls that like rock still, right there. They're like, yeah, King. You're like, what? On these two? Like, what about us? Who do you guys like? I'm just curious.
Justin Bieber?
No, look. No, they wouldn't
be
here.
His early work was good. I mean, his first two records were good. I mean, he got a little commercial.
Before he sold out.
Yeah. Who do you listen to?
You like who?
Beware.
Beware of Darkness and Defeater?
Defeater.
Hmm. Anybody?
I haven't heard of either of those two.
What do you guys listen to?
Sorry.
Everything?
You know
those
funny?
Guys are pretty good.
My daughter always talks about cool new bands, and I don't know any of them.
Yeah.
And then she plays them, and they sound incredible. Which leads me to believe there's a lot of really killer music being made.
There is.
We just don't fucking know about.
Because
we're too, like, under the radar. Like,
well, people send me stuff all the time, and then, like, a couple days ago, I heard that new Jack White single for the record store day, and I was like, this is fucking incredible, you know? But there's good stuff out there.
No, there is.
There's always people that go, there's no good music anymore. And I'm like, there's a lot of good music. Yeah. You just stopped looking.
Yeah. There's a lot of new creative music.
Right.
It's definitely just different.
You know? Yeah, when you become an adult, it doesn't become your, I've got to seek the new band so I can get some girls to think
well, also,
I'm cool.
The stations you listen to, they play the same 7 songs.
That's right.
Yeah, radio's not breaking bands anymore. It's tough. I mean, Chris, with Five Finger Death Punch, they... you luckily, like, you know, they started playing your stuff, and that's really helped. Right, so yeah, unlike the alternative stations or whatever, they'll play Five Finger Death Punch, Godsmack, Avenged Sevenfold. They'll do that whole set list over.
Well,
and
now
over
like there's genre radio stations. I mean, you got you know the satellite stations. If you listen to it, they
like Boneyard's my fucking jam. I don't need like I call up Sirius Radio and I go, can I just pay for one channel? That's all I need. Or maybe two. I'll take the Springsteen channel. Then
Outlaw Boneyard. Country. Come on.
Outlaw Country? Yeah, not
come
bad.
Come on. I'm telling you, it's not bad.
How about like a five fucking five channel package for $2? Right? Jim, you got the show on Boneyard?
Yeah, I do a radio show on Ozzy's Boneyard. And, you know, I'll play a Five Finger Death Punch, which should really be on Octane, which is more the alternative. But I'm just like, look, man... music is music, and you know, like the older metalheads that don't know about Five Finger Death Punch, they would definitely like them. So I'm gonna, you know, play it on here. So they're like, oh shit, man, I love that band, and that's what happens a lot too.
Yeah, and that's what
and
they
the
need
Winery
to do,
Dogs, we play a lot too. It's supposed to be like older, classic metal on there,
right,
like Sabbath,
the
Priest, Maiden.
Dogs.
But Winery Dogs fits right into that groove, so we play a lot of that too. So.
I love Boneyard. They'll play the best rock, and then once every 2 hours, Billy Squire. Like, what the fuck is this? Everybody, have you heard the word? It's like, get the fuck out of here. There's no coke.
Yeah, he lost me when he started snapping his fingers in that video. I was
such
done.
Such a bummer. Thanks, guys, for coming down right here.
Right on, Dino.
We're
absolutely.
Gonna have let's hear it for these guys.
Right on, thanks, man. This is great. Awesome.
We got a couple more minutes. I just want to bring up right here, Mickey Finn from Jet Boy. Let's bring him up.
And Chris,
come on up, Chris.
Chris Kale
come
from Five Finger Death Punch.
Yeah, say hi to these guys, and then we'll wrap it up. Come on up, guys. Yeah, I've actually known Mickey probably 40 years. No, not 40.
We're old.
Like 25, whatever. But we're from the Bay Area, sang in a band called Jet Boy, Feel the Shake. Yep. And he's getting ready to move to Hawaii, so this is going to be probably the last time I'll see him for a while. Still playing music, though. You're in a rockabilly band now.
Psychabilly.
And what are they called?
Cold Blue Rebels.
Cold Blue Rebels, and you guys play psychabilly, right?
Like, yeah, we do. You know, I've got to say, I'm 50 years old, and somehow I thought it was a good idea to start a band where I dress up like a zombie and play rockabilly. People seem to enjoy it.
So you guys all dress as zombies?
Dress like zombies. We got coffins on stage and zombie go-go dancers, and you know, it's a good show. Nice. Entertainment.
So are you gonna be doing that in Hawaii, or are you just gonna live there and come back and do the gigs?
Just gonna live there and come back, man.
All right.
Now, what's making you move to Hawaii?
My wife's from there. I lived there for a few years. I love it. It's beautiful. You know. Can't argue with it.
Absolutely. And you ride motorcycles also?
I ride motorcycles. Yep.
You just got a Harley. Now are you going to boat it over there? How are you getting the bike
shipping
there?
Shipping the Harley over there. Shipping all our stuff.
And which island are you going to live on?
Oahu.
Yeah. That'll be great, right?
It is, man.
Just ride around the island. Now, what are you going to do over there? Just sleep?
You know. Yeah.
Right.
Hang on a beach.
Yeah. Fuck cocaine. You know.
Yeah. They got it over there.
I realized when I came in here and y'all started talking about cocaine, I'm like, I left my cocaine at home tonight.
Damn it.
Thank God they have alcohol here. Cause
now, you did some hard partying.
I did hard partying.
Hard partying.
Hard partying.
I always say that we made it through that, but I feel it's going to get me on the back end.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That joke I do is like real. Like I'll just be walking, like, oh, see you later.
Yeah. But isn't it like, you know,
I wouldn't trade it for anything,
like,
though, right?
Like I'm 50 years old, right?
Yeah.
50, right? 50.
Yeah.
People come up to me on the street, and you know, like I get carded. Maybe you're 50? No way, bro. You're not 50. I'm like, yeah, I'm 50. What's your secret? Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. Yeah. And lots of all of it. Lots of it.
Yeah,
lots
right?
Of it, right? I don't know. I don't know what it is. You
the
know?
Secret is living your life, right?
Like maybe next year I'm going to just suddenly keel over, but hey, you know, it's been a good run.
Right? That's how I look at it. I was like, yeah, fuck it, man. We're not going to. What if you did no drugs your whole life and just died at 50?
Yeah.
How fucked would that be?
All the vegans, right?
Yeah, like, I'm going to live a long time. No, you're not, because you ate sushi that has fucking nuclear
mercury
waste in it.
Yeah.
Right.
From Tokyo Dome. Right. Tokyo Dome.
My wife was a vegan. Yeah. Up until this last year, I got her to start eating meat again.
Fuck yeah.
But you know, it's like, come on. There's vegans that get cancer and die, right? And you're like, oh, well, you lost.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah.
I'm down to enjoy it. Eat what you want. Do what you want within reason. Balance, right?
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
You know, don't eat M&Ms for breakfast or whatever. But, you know. No. Lots
and
of sex,
what'd you say? Lots of sex.
Just do it. Yeah. And when you go, we're all gonna die. We're all gonna die.
Yeah.
You know, no matter what, we're all gonna die. So enjoy it. I don't want to live to be 100. And the last 20 years of my life, I'm like.
Yeah. Yeah. Fuck yeah. Handyman.
I don't want to live to be 100. I don't want to live to be 90.
Let's talk a little bit about you, Jim.
Now, Chris, you ride too, right? You got a bike. Yeah.
What do you got?
I just had to sell a Honda VTX 1300. Now, I'm getting ready to pick up a victory.
Jim told me an amazing story about you.
We got the gig in Five Finger Death Punch.
You hit the band up on Facebook and say, I want to audition.
Yeah, but even backing up before that, I've been playing music for a really long time.
And where are you from originally?
Kentucky originally, but I've been in Vegas for about 13 years. And it got to a point where, you know, I was like, I'm bartending in Vegas. I'm making pretty good money.
And where are you bartending at? A rock bar?
I started off at the Hard Rock Cafe for like 8 years.
Yep, in the center there?
Yeah, exactly, right there. And then I got a pool gig at the Cosmopolitan.
Wow, that's a great gig, right?
Yeah, it was nice.
Just titties and fucking tips. Titties and tips.
Titties and tips. I mean, yeah, exactly. That's how they advertise
the
job.
That's a great rock song. Titties and tips, yeah!
We need to ask you something. Are you into titties and tips? You can have this job then. And it got to a point where, you know, I was kind of ready to give up on music because I was making good money and been doing it for a long time. And I was like, fuck, you know, when is this going to happen for me? So I literally put all my stuff up on Craigslist, had my amps, my guitars, everything up for sale. I was like, all right, fuck it. I'm going to work on something else. My wife and I went to open up like a small hotel bar in Belize. And
wow, that's dope.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. Yeah.
And I was like, you know, I'm making good money. I can put it
towards
this.
More titties and tips.
Exactly.
Right?
You see the recurring theme here.
Terrorists and tips.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
So I ended up, my amp got sold, and then I went to go see System of a Down.
Awesome.
At the Palms.
Yeah.
So underrated.
I used to always do this thing where I would look at the crowd and look at the band and go back to the crowd and be like, oh, someday that's going to be me. But that night when I did it, I was half liquored up on Crown Royal that night. And I was like, you know what? I haven't gone after this gig yet. I've been trying to go through friends back in Vegas. Death Punch was based in Vegas at that point. And I've been trying to go through friends and really hadn't gone after it. So that night, half lit, I went home and got on Facebook. I was like, fuck this. I'm finding somebody in Death Punch. I'm contacting these motherfuckers.
That band
they're
going to
find
particular?
Me tonight.
But what did you know they needed a bass player at that time?
No, that's a whole different story that'll come out in the book later about my first experience with Matt Snell.
Were they opening for Systems?
No, they were looking for a bass player, and they were based in Vegas, and I knew they were looking for it. It's a small...
And they already had two records out.
Exactly.
So there was...
Small musical community. I knew they were looking for a bass player, and at that point, I got on Facebook, sent Jason Hook a message. I was like, hey, my name's Chris. I'm here in Vegas. I know you guys are looking for a bass player. Look no further. I'm your guy. All I'm looking for is an audition. Give me a chance. And Jason Hook responded the next day. He was like, well, that was very forward.
Yeah.
But I like it. How are your vocals? And stuff that I did before that, I'd been singing and playing bass at the same time. So I was like, vocals, please. I got you. Let's go.
Yeah.
So I sent him a track, and literally I sent that track on Tuesday, auditioned on Saturday, had the gig the following Friday.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice. And then, holy shit, man.
Yeah.
And then what kind of tours were you? All of a sudden you were, that's me, right? You're out there doing fucking, what are you doing, theaters?
Last night at the Golden Gods, literally 3 years ago, I was bartending, fucking miserable in Vegas.
Yeah. And you win best bass player last night.
Best bass player.
How fucking cool is that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
And it's not like I was up against some shit people. I mean, I was up against Geezer Butler from Black Sabbath.
Yeah.
Fieldy from Korn.
You heard of him, right? Geezer?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. And that was my thing last night. I was like, all right, best beard in metal? Okay, maybe.
Who's
best bass player? Geezer Butler? Come on now.
What guys were you into? Were you into Cliff Burton? Who's your bass guys?
Gene Simmons was the guy for me.
That's it? Only Gene?
Yeah, Gene Simmons. As soon as I saw him at like age 4, I was like, That's what I want to do. I didn't know what he was doing, but I knew I wanted to do what
but
he
what
was doing.
But what about later when you you realized
Cliff
that...
Cliff Burton was a huge
yeah,
one for
right?
me. Yeah,
right? Yeah. And he then even like Jason, because he sang and played bass like crazy.
Jason Newstead's actually... Cliff was a finger player, played yep. with his fingers, and I was like, he's done everything possible on fingers. Why am I going to try to add to that?
Yeah.
And Jason Newstead was a pick player, and really I focused on his pick playing, and I have a really good right hand.
Well, congrats,
ladies
man.
And gentlemen.
Thanks for coming down, huh?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great story, man.
Guys, thanks for coming out tonight. Did you have fun?
Yeah.
We'll drop this episode on Monday simultaneously on Jim's podcast, Metal Midgets.
Yeah, mine is Comedy Metal Midgets. And
Let There Be Talk, mine. Also, follow us on Twitter. I'm at Dean Del Rey, R-A-Y. Where you got Twitter?
No.
No Twitter? Where do we find you? Online? Hawaii.
In Hawaii, yes.
We find you on MySpace.
Instagram.
What do you got for Twitter or anything?
Twitter and Instagram, 5FDP Chris Kale.
And you, Jim, what's your Twitter?
Yeah, Mr. Jim Florentine.
And then Gilby, you got a Twitter? Yep. Gilby? Mm-hmm. At Gilby, okay. And
Sharice,
Richie?
You have a
Richie,
Twitter?
You got a Twitter? Twitter?
Sharice Neal on Twitter.
Sharice, thank you. Did you have fun, Sharice? Did you guys have fun?
All right, Richie Kotzen. Yeah. Richie.
Twitter? Yeah. Let's thank the Laugh Factory real quick for having us
on.
Man. Thanks a lot. One more time, the comedians. Nick Youssef over there. Ian Edwards. Jim. Dan Madonia. These guys. Thank you guys for coming out. See you guys later.
Thank you.
Yeah, Dean.
Thank you, sir. Awesome. Thank you, sir, man. Thank you.